Hello, everyone. This is the Geneva International Podcast. We are the China and East Asian Studies Initiative, and in this episode, we'll be discussing Lunar New Year traditions in East Asia. Today, February 26th, is the first full moon of the Year of the Ox, and with this podcast, we close our Lunar New Year celebration event series. I'm Laura, and I will be interviewing our three guests.
Hi everyone, I'm Shirley, I'm from Nanjing, China.
I'm Jie from Mopo, South Korea.
I'm Yoshi from Fukushima, Japan.
Thanks for joining us, guys. So celebrating the Lunar New Year is a tradition that has spread throughout most of East Asia, but with some important differences. So can you tell us a bit about the historical and cultural origins in your countries and how it's usually celebrated or not celebrated?
In China, Lunar New Year is also called Spring Festival, which is the most important holiday in the whole year and throughout the history. It originated from China, and it has a history of 45,000 years. According to the earliest legend, when spring comes, people kill livestock to sacrifice to their ancestors and to pray that the new year will be smooth without disasters and prosperous harvests. The first daily celebration can be traced back to the Warring States period, which is around 400 BC to 200 AD. Later, since the Tang Dynasty, due to the imperial tributary system, trade and cultural exchanges with East Asia and Southeast Asia become more intensive, and celebrations of Lunar New Year has been brought to the neighboring countries like Japan, Korea, and Vietnam. For costumes, this is too much to talk about. I'll just list some famous ones. The first one is red pockets. Elder people usually give them to the kids and put them under the pillows for good luck. We also put on New Year's squirrels on the doors for decorations. We also like to stick the character Fu upside down in the center of the doors. Fu means good fortune in Chinese, and the Chinese word for upside down has the same pronunciation as something is coming. So an upside down Fu also means good fortune is coming. Today is a lantern festival in China, and the lantern is also an important decoration during Lunar New Year. We really love the red color, and as the ancient Chinese believe that, red color can disperse bad evil spirits. We celebrate Lunar New Year from the New Year's Eve until the 15th days of Lunar New Year, which is the lantern festival. Each day has different celebrations. Since China is a very large country with huge regional differences, traditions vary among regions. However, the most important thing for all parts of China is to go back home. No matter where they work or study, people always go back to their hometown to reunite with their family. Therefore, there's always extremely high traffic load around the time of the New Year, which is called Chun Yun in Chinese, when rail transport experiences the biggest challenge during this period. However, in 2020 and 2021, COVID is another case. Most people stay at their current places right now.
Yeah, also in Korea, Lunar New Year is one of the biggest holidays. We call these holidays 설날. It's also the day of family reunions like in China, and it's for 3 days. So all the family members gather together and we eat a lot of food during these Lunar New Year holidays. In my family, the morning of the Lunar New Year day is the most important and we have the biggest meal in the year. As my grandparents did believe in sort of traditional religion that our forefathers protect us and bring us happiness, we have a traditional ritual called chare in the very early morning. We put a lot of dishes, fruits, and desserts on a big table and also the wooden tiles with our ancestors' names with. So before having breakfast, male family members bow in front of our ancestors' name tiles to respect them. However, this tradition is now kind of disappearing because a lot of people don't believe in their forefathers as protectors or guardians of their lives. But still, we eat special dish called tteokguk, sliced rice cake soup, for breakfast. And we bow to our parents, grandparents, uncles, and aunts. We call this sebe. And kids receive wishes and some money, but it doesn't need to be in pockets like in China. And then the funny thing is that even though my parents are in their 50s, my grandparents still give some money to my parents. During Seollal holidays, we also play a traditional board game called Yunori. We basically roll 4 wooden sticks instead of dices, and we play this game wishing for the prosperity of the year.
That's interesting. Indeed, Japan used to celebrate the New Year's according to the lunar calendar, which the celebration then took place on the same date as other East Asian countries. However, after changing to the Gregorian calendar during the Meiji Restoration as part of Japan's modernization movement, the date for New Year has completely shifted to the 1st of January, rather than keeping the tradition of celebrating both New Year's and Lunar New Year's, such as the approach that we see in China. Again, for the case of Japan, indeed, Shogatsu, which roughly translates to the New Year celebration, is one of the most important holidays in modern Japan. Now, strictly speaking, the New Year celebration in Japan is not interchangeable with the terminology of Lunar New Year, and Lunar New Year, or Spring Festival in Japan nowadays, is referred to the holidays in Greater China and other countries, rather than the New Year. Some traditions are indeed the result of Chinese influence, and therefore somewhat like the ones in China. For example, because of the urbanization, people who work in major cities such as Tokyo, Osaka, and Nagoya, but with origin other than these cities, would often travel back to their hometowns. Sending greeting postcards called Nengasho is another tradition with Chinese origin from the Song Dynasty, but I believe it is more common in Japan than in China nowadays. Another tradition which has been around since the 16th century is for businesses and friends, but not families, to conduct Bonenkai, which is roughly translated to the event to forget the year at the end of the year. Those are big banquets or parties, and consumption of large amount of alcohol are usually involved. New Year's money is also a tradition in Japan. However, the packets are not red, but rather white. Traditionally, similar to other East Asian cultures, the New Year celebration period would last 15 days. However, during the Edo period, the government has shrunk this down to 7 days. And in current days, most people believe that the New Year celebration period is only between the 1st and the 3rd of January, which is usually the break period for companies and businesses. Culture tradition-wise, although the New Year celebration in Japan has strong Chinese influence, but many traditions are unique to Japan, especially those which has Shintoism origins. For example, visiting Shinto shrines and pray for a peaceful year. On the New Year's Day, eating soba noodles, decorating door with pine and Shimenawa, which is the artifact of Shintoism.
That's really interesting. So, do these celebrations have a lot of impact on civil society, or not that much? Why do you think that is?
That's a very interesting question. To answer this question, let me introduce a TV program in mainland China called Spring Festival Celebration Gala. It is broadcast annually on the eve of Lunar New Year and has the largest audience of any entertainment show in the world. In the early days of the gala in the 1980s, the show focused almost entirely on arts and entertainment. As audience grew, the show became a ritualized event of national significance and experienced increased state involvement in its production. Nowadays, segments of the show become devoted to celebrating the previous year's national achievements and the previews of significant events of the upcoming year. In other words, now it's more political-oriented rather than art-oriented. One reason behind this is a Western cultural influence on the younger generations. This type of gala could help to raise the awareness of protecting traditional culture and enhance national identity and pride. Besides, as so many people gather around the televisions each year to watch this big televised party, the Spring Festival Gala has become one of the most important propaganda tools of the state authorities. And it can be represented as one of the manifestations of the national will. In recent years, the Spring Festival Gala has overseas branch venues all over the world. As long as the Overseas Spring Festival Gala, which can be perceived as a kind of cultural output and soft power of China.
Perhaps the fact that not celebrating Lunar New Year has a greater impact on Japanese society. I believe that Japan has a long tradition of distancing itself from other East Asian countries, especially since the Meiji Restoration. Now, this could either be because of the belief of self-superiority from the relative earlier modernization, or because of that, Japan was the most powerful economy in the East Asia region throughout the 20th century. That said, like many other traditions in Japan, there's a balance between cutting away from the old traditions and keeping them. Although the date for the New Year celebration has changed, and young people in urban regions are more and more distant from some of the traditional rituals, the tradition has been kept rather largely intact in the country.
Yeah, in my opinion, I think celebrating Lunar New Year has been linked to our identity as Korean. As Yoshi mentioned before, the Japanese government shifted it to the 1st of January, so Korean people were basically not allowed to celebrate the Lunar New Year during the Japanese colonial period. However, Korean people kept celebrating with their families as they didn't want to just accept the Japanese policy. So in 1980s, Seollal became official holidays again when all the stores, companies, and schools closed. So these holidays are meant to be fun and relaxing with families, right? But married women cannot easily feel comfortable during Seollal. It really depicts gender inequality. I think it's kind of a negative impact of Seollal, probably. For example, visiting the home of their husband's parents is prioritized during the holidays, and married women should prepare a lot of different kinds of dishes for the rituals. Due to Confucian tradition and patriarchal culture, making the home is the sole responsibility of women. Combined with the virtue of respecting elderly, married women cannot even decide when they want to see their parents or siblings until their parents-in-law allow to do. In the worst situation, maybe their husbands do nothing or just stay on the couch watching TV. Of course, some people would cook something, but often they say they are helping their wives. So like Korean daughters have seen this since their childhood, so they often feel the responsibility to behave just the same as their moms, even though they now kind of realize that this is quite bizarre and unequal. But now the society is changing and recognizing this as a huge social issue. So a lot of families, they change their traditions so that every family member can truly enjoy Seollal, not doing too much work.
That's actually a really interesting and important perspective on these kind of holiday celebrations. And maybe a lot of people in Western countries recognize this problem as well. Actually, in the West, Lunar New Year has become more well-known recently, but it's mainly referred to as the Chinese New Year. So what do you think is the reason for this trend?
Well, I think there are several reasons. As I said before, the Lunar New Year originated in China and spread to the other neighboring countries. And secondly, as I mentioned in the previous question, overseas Spring Festival Gala can be regarded as part of the Chinese soft power appeal. Lastly, I'd like to talk more about the large Chinese diaspora. The Chinese people have a long history of migrating overseas. One of the migrations can date back to the Ming Dynasty, when Zheng He sent people to explore and trade in South China Sea and in the Indian Ocean. Many of them are Cantonese and Hokkien. In the 19th century, during the age of colonialism, many colonies lacked a large pool of laborers. At the same time, in Fujian and Guangdong provinces, the number of immigrants surged due to poverty and destruction caused by the Taiping Rebellion during the Qing Dynasty. Since then, there are many different waves of immigration, and the early emigrants have built Chinatowns in many large cities across the world. The development of most Chinatowns typically result from the mass migration to an area with very few Chinese residents. Nowadays, many celebrations of the Lunar New Year will be held in Chinatown, and most of them are located in the center or near the center of each city. For example, I've been to many Chinatowns in the UK, like the London ones and the Manchester ones, and all of them located in the urban areas. This is a direct way for Westerners to understand the Lunar New Year directly. So for me, that's why it is mainly referred to as the Chinese New Year.
Yeah, I agree with you, Shirley. Personally, I think it is a combination of the large size of Chinese diaspora and also lack of knowledge or information about East Asia in the West. Because the word Chinese New Year or even the word Lunar New Year are created to distinguish the Western celebration of New Year. In South Korea, we call these holidays Seollal.
Yeah, in mainland China, we say 春节, which can be translated into Spring Festival. So it's the same situation here.
That's a good point. See, in Japanese language, although we do not use the term Chinese New Year, but when the word 春節 would translate to the Spring Festival, or 旧正月 would translate to the word Old New Year is used. I believe it is usually referring to the Lunar New Year's celebration in China and other Eastern Asian countries. As for the reason why Lunar New Year is being more well-known as the Chinese New Year in Western world, I believe it is because the most predominant culture that celebrate this is indeed the Chinese. And also perhaps because of the relative larger amount of Chinese descendants in Southeast Asia states and in Western world throughout history. And also from a historical point of view, the tradition of Lunar New Year celebration and the very base for that, the various Chinese calendars, are originated from China and projected to those states surrounding it, especially those states that had historical ties with China via the tributary system, such as Vietnam and Korea.
Yeah, but now I think it can be also part of Chinese soft power, especially public diplomacy has become an important strategy of a country these days. Chinese community and the Chinese government are showing their way of celebration to other countries more and more. They are kind of promoting their brand names. So do the South Korean government and the Vietnamese government. Especially, I've seen Korean and Vietnamese communities becoming quite prominent too in the West, so probably the term will change to Lunar New Year in the near future.
All right, to go back briefly to what I mentioned at the start, today's date, the 26th of February, closes the Lunar New Year celebration period, but not actually in the same way in all the three countries. So what does this first moon of the lunar year represent in your cultures, and to which traditions and customs is it associated?
In the Great China area, the first full moon of the Lunar New Year is also known as the Lantern Festival. The shape of the full moon is a round circle, which represents the meaning of a reunion. During the Lantern Festival, people hang the lanterns for decorations. Besides, people usually eat Tang Yuan or Yuan Xiao. It is a rice ball typically filled with sweet red bean paste, sesame paste, or peanut butter. Chinese people believe that the round shape of the balls in which they were served symbolize family togetherness, and eating Tang Yuan or Yuan Xiao may bring the family harmony, happiness, and luck in the new year. Besides, lion and dragon dance, walk on stilts, and riddle games are also very popular during the Lantern Festival.
Full moon was also a symbol of abundance and prosperity in Korea. The first full moon is the brightest of the year, so people stayed awake to enjoy the full moon during the night, and they also played Jibul Nori, which translates to rattan fire game. They put a torch in an empty can and connected this can with a hard string, and they twirl the can with the fire to make a round shape like a full moon. It's a fun activity and also helps to exterminate insects and rats in the field.
Much like the Lunar New Year itself, we do not celebrate the first moon in Japan nowadays either. However, the 15th of January, it's called Koshogatsu, which is roughly translated to the Small New Year in Japan. Much like the New Year, this day too was shifted from the old calendar to the Gregorian calendar. The traditional food for this day would be red bean porridge. In Western Japan, this is the day which marks the end of New Year celebration period. However, in Eastern Japan, where the celebration period lasts till the 7th, this day is somewhat viewed as a separate holiday. That said, nowadays, this day is less celebrated. This day was also the coming of age day in Japan up until the year 2000, and it has been changed to the second Monday of January. People who reach the age of maturity, 20 years old, between the April 2nd of previous year and April 1st of the current year will celebrate this day by ceremonies and after parties.
So, we've discussed some important aspects of the Lunar New Year and learned how diverse this celebration is across East Asia. I hope our listeners found this as fascinating as I did, and I want to thank our guests for sharing their knowledge and experiences. That is all for today. If you want to stay up to date with the China and East Asian Studies Initiative, make sure you follow us on social media and sign up to our newsletter, and we hope to see you at one of our upcoming events.